And that sounder means it's time for This Week in History with the man himself, Mr. Scott Washington. How are you?
Well, glad to be here. And, you know, I think we just need to, when we think of history, we also think of what's happening in Britain right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing the Masterpiece Theater, our thoughts and prayers go out to all those folks over there.
Absolutely.
As well.
So.
But it's a good week in history, all kinds of interesting things happening that I think are kind of that we of course here we find the ridiculous and the actual important stuff.
Yes.
One I found.
Can we start with both and say that today is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars getting released?
Yes. Oh yeah? My gosh, that's right. Good. You know, I was there when they opened up.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
The very first day, and it was extraordinary seeing those big words across the screen. The only
problem with Star Wars is that the best moment in the movie is the first one where you get that like that orchestral crash and John Williams score, and you see the big words and the like flashing lights.
Oh, it's great.
Like, it's a great movie, but you can't top that first 2 seconds.
No,
there's no way.
And you know, I've tried to find a copy of the original movie, but after it was brought back out of circulation, they remastered it and then introduced new scenes, and I went, okay, this is not the movie I originally saw.
I've got it. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
They did release it on DVD not that
did
long
they?
Ago. It was
oh
part
my
of
gosh.
A it was part of a special edition DVD release where like it was a 6-disc set, and discs
wow.
1, 2, and 3 were A New Hope and Empire
really?
Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And then there was all of these special features on discs 4, 5, and 6, including the original theatrical
oh my
release
gosh.
And all
oh,
of that.
Fantastic.
So I'm like, oh, throw the first 3 discs away. Here's where the action
That's it.
Is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like when you see a movie and then suddenly it's not the same one.
It's not
one.
The same, yeah.
You know, that's...
But we talked about this with Walt Whitman, right? Was it you I was talking
no.
about this with, where he publishes Leaves of Grass in
uh-huh.
1855, and then he doesn't ever publish anything new. He just keeps going back and publishing new versions of Leaves of Grass where he adds poems.
I did not know
and he
that.
Goes back and he changes the ones that he wrote.
Oh my gosh.
So by the time he dies in 1891, this very thin volume of
yeah.
12 poems has ballooned into this 450-page monstrosity where all of the original poems are way worse than they were in the
wow.
first place. He was the George Lucas of his time.
See
True
how
story.
Much folks things you learn out there, people, you're thinking, oh, can I edit? Yes, you can edit your life.
You yes, can edit. You can do that. Wouldn't advise it, but
no, that's
yeah.
right. That's right.
All the best stuff all the best artistic stuff you produce in your like 20s or 30s.
That's,
I think, you know.
Well,
unless
now,
you're
hold
a,
on. Now, there, hold on. And for all the folks who are a little older, they say, yeah, well, wait a minute. There are some people, Colonel Sanders.
There are some people.
He came
well,
up with
I'm
that.
Talking about like artistic product.
Oh,
like
artistic.
You think about like the great like rock artists, for instance, like so many of them produce their best stuff in their 20s and 30s. Like you think about the Rolling Stones, for instance, like they're still going strong. How many great songs have they come out with in the last 30 years, like since Start Me Up?
I think it's just impressive they're still performing.
It's incredibly yeah. impressive they're still performing.
But the creativity, yeah. I don't think, knows an age limit or a sense of humor or a sense
That's
of curiosity.
True. The opposite is true, I think, of literature. Like a lot of the greatest
That's
stuff
true.
Is
yeah.
written by people who are older. So,
That's right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Music, though, I think you get
music,
the...
well, performing in general
yeah,
becomes
yeah.
a little bit more challenging, but not, I mean, gosh, we are still enjoying people who are extraordinary performers. Okay,
oh, yeah,
we won't
yeah.
go down further down this road here. For the, because
I'm digging myself
are...
out of my ageist hole, but for rock music, I
yes.
still think that
okay.
what I say was
so we got
cool.
Star
yeah.
Wars, Windows NT was unveiled by Microsoft in 1993. You know, just hard to believe how much has happened since that time. Also, the world's largest baby was born in 1982, on May 24th, 1982, 22 pounds, 8 ounces.
Holy God.
That's a child. I'm not sure that's a baby. And I'm thinking, how was this a baby elephant or what was this? apparently it was a bouncing baby boy. Maybe the stress is on bouncing. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think so at
this
that
is
point.
Kind of
like,
unusual.
At what point, like, at a certain point in the delivery, the doctor's got to be like, this is, no, I'm out. I'm done.
This is, yes. It raises kind of like, wow, that's a little bit unusual. But that is part of history, these unusual things that pop up. But now on the other side, which is kind of interesting, which is Monday, May 22nd, is when a presidential patent was issued. I wouldn't say it's a president. It's just a U.S. patent was issued to a fella for improvement of buoying vessels over shoals. And this is where a boat would hit a shallow spot. There would be billows on either side. You could blow them up. That would lift the boat up, and you could float over it. Now, up in Nantucket, they have some model of this and some idea that it might have been used. But the interesting thing is, and I feel a little bit like Paul Harvey when I say who this fellow was, and he's a future president at that time, Abraham Lincoln. Only president to get a patent.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was practically used a lot of places, but it's because he encountered this, and he thought of, how do I get over those rough spots when he was on board a boat?
So. Is this like from Illinois? Because the interesting thing here is sort of, I'm thinking about the timeline of Lincoln's life. Like, he was in Congress from 1846 to 48, I think it was, or something like that. So, like, he's developing this patent, or he's developing the idea for it probably while he's spending as much time in Washington, D.C. as he is in Illinois. So I'm wondering, like, what he was doing in Washington, D.C.
I'm not sure.
Now I'm picturing Abraham Lincoln, like, floating down the Potomac. Yes. Like, how can I get this stupid boat over these rocks?
See, you know, a lot of people would be like, that's a great idea. But only president to do that, which I think is kind of fascinating.
All right.
Let's see. There's another one that actually is on Monday, May 22nd is two. It's usually celebrated in California, but it is sort of something important. Harvey Milk Day.
Yes.
The openly gay politician who was
first
elected.
Openly gay elected official in the U.S.,
and did so much to advance human rights for really the entire country, and was tragically
gunned down.
But still, you know, that's something that I think we can all celebrate, and we don't have to be in California. That's a great day to mark in any case.
Yeah. Speaking with Scott Washington, this week in history, that Harvey Milk's birthday was May 22nd. I know you want to talk about Thomas Gold, whose birthday was also May 22nd. Mr. Garbage.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I had to throw this one in because, you know, this is we are dealing with kind of unusual things. And Thomas Gold was born in 1920, died in 2004. Austrian-born astronomer, and he proposed just a hilarious thing called a garbage theory for the origin of life, in which life on Earth was spread from a pile of waste products dumped on Earth long ago by extraterrestrials. Yes, we're finally able to work in aliens into a history show.
I'm not going
to
say it was aliens, but it was aliens. Yeah.
Now, I hope that you are laughing if you're listening out there going, that is hilarious. Well, it is. It's, you know, just to show you that you have to separate the wheat from the chaff.
This does explain Trump.
Well, you know, I never thought
here
of it.
Is,
that's right.
There.
Let's
this
get the
is
DNA
the reason for
test
the polarization
out.
And the fact that the Kardashians are popular. And
haven't you thought that this is the whole purpose of the DNA testing out there is to find that missing link?
Yes, yes.
And maybe that there's a lot of
apparently the missing link was a sausage link that accidentally got discarded and dumped
something
in a landfill.
Like that. You wonder what was going on, but these are the kind of goofy things that you say, okay, well, that's interesting, but probably not terribly relevant. However, Saturday, May 27th, 1907, is when Rachel Louise Carson is born.
Yes.
She dies in 1964. She's the famous American biologist and conservationist whose book, 1962, Silent Spring, alerted the nations to the dangers of pesticides, DDT. And we are in her debt for really raising the consciousness of us all about these important issues. And really, you might almost say that's kind of jump-started ecology movements and interests, which are still extremely important even today.
Yep, absolutely. So much is going on in history this week. We're looking, and we always talk about the fact that we're like shifting through a whole bunch of papers because there's just so many different historical moments this week.
And you know, when we started this back in January, there was really a worry. A
concern. You were worried that we were going to have enough to talk
about.
Oh,
well, if only we can get one or two good items. No, we have so much to go for that, which is great, and it just shows that so much does happen.
So one thing, and sort of speaking of history, we're talking about this week, and we can pinpoint this week, Sunday, May 28th, 585 BC. You saw this one. This is the first historical event that we can pinpoint the exact date. Talking about not just history, but like historiography or the study of like how we identify events in history. This is really cool because it's an event that you can identify based on astronomy.
Right. And you might say it's an event that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because
an
of
event
astronomy.
That didn't happen. Yeah.
And here they are. The Medes and the Lydians are poised to fight a battle.
Yes.
And an eclipse of the sun takes place. They're both frightened.
Of course.
Because
we still don't know what an eclipse is. So all of a sudden, the sky darkens.
That's right.
Like,
and so everybody says, okay, that's it. And they cancel the battle. I thought, maybe we should do that more often. Turn off the lights and
there
say, that's it. And that's a fascinating thing that we could date with precision.
Based on the fact that we know that the eclipse of the sun took place on this particular date. So this had to have been it.
Which is really, really fascinating. I'm glad there was no loss of life as well.
yes, that's good.
As that date.
Unless,
on that same date, May 28th is when the Spanish Armada with 130 ships and 30,000 men set sail from Lisbon, Portugal, heading for the English Channel, and it'll take them until May 30th for all ships to leave port. They're going to invade England,
and
it starts as a huge battle that's extremely important.
Or they're going to try to invade England, right?
They were
trying,
that's
get
right.
There.
Well, they did not.
Big,
well, they got there, and there's all the fighting that goes on. In fact, some of that was cannons that were the high technology of the time. The English had an advantage there, and faster boats, and they defeat the Spanish Armada. Meanwhile, the implications for North Carolina is that there are folks stranded still here. The boats that are going to come and rescue them don't show up, and when they finally do, as a result of this big battle that they had to be engaged in, when they finally come here, those colonists are the ones we call the lost colonists. That's right. Yeah, there is a connection with this.
Because Spain decided to try to take over everything?
That's right. That rescue mission had to be set aside until after all this settled down. And by the time they got back, then there was only the one word carved in the law.
Croatoan.
That's right.
Interesting.
I thought it was crouton, it's, they're going to a potluck.
We figured out a way to toast bread and come back later. All right, speaking with Scott Washington, we got to wrap up in a minute. What is the one big item here that we, I wanted to talk about Star Wars Day, so we covered that. So what else is, here's one that I want to talk about, because I was just there on Monday, May 22nd of 1926, Great Smoky Mountains National Park was first established by Calvin Coolidge. So,
isn't that something? I mean, think about that part of the state and how beautiful it is, and to realize that our national park system is so important across the nation, and we don't need to privatize this, folks.
Yes.
This is part of the reason why it's part of our common heritage that we need to preserve and protect. And it's not only a matter of history, it's a matter of public interest.
Yep. I was just there over the weekend.
Really?
So,
wonderful.
Getting engaged, as it turns out.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's great. I couldn't be. This is just touching.
This week in history.
This brings tears to my eyes. I love these touching moments.
We drove through the Smokies in the rain. So, when it's really, really smoky, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
You know, was there a rainy day. Haze on there? On the
there's a haze on there, under there, above there.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
It really is. Wow. So that's my thing. What is your thing that you want to highlight from this week?
Well, I don't know. I think I've touched on the ones already that I think are kind of fun. The patent by Lincoln.
Lincoln's patent, right? Yeah.
I really like that one a lot. Also, there's one other fellow. This goes back to the 15th century. A fellow, Clement VII, who was an Italian religious leader, becomes a pope.
Yes.
And he was an illegitimate son of this other fellow. Well, just days before his death, he's the fellow who commissions Michelangelo's painting of the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel.
Sistine Chapel,
And, of course, the Trumps visited there. I don't know whether they ever looked up, but if they if they did, that's an astonishing kind of piece of art. And to know that somebody said, okay, Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's paint the ceiling. It's getting cracked. We need to paint it. All right. That is This Week in History for this week. Scott Washington, always a pleasure.
And you have your own history. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.